NASA's ongoing cyber problems with its $2.5 billion contract for end-user devices forced a meeting at the highest levels. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden met with Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Services CEO Meg Whitman last month to ensure the vendor fixes long-standing software patching problems under the ACES contract. Executive Editor Jason Miller broke the news of the meeting, and he brings us the latest update on NASA's efforts to protect its systems and its data. And Jason's here with us now. Hi, Jason.
Hello, Jared.
And so, leaving aside the specifics of HP and NASA, how unusual is it in the first place for any vendor to meet with the head of an agency? I can't recall very many examples of this.
I agree with you. I can't recall many examples in the almost two decades I've been doing this. So when a head of an agency calls for a meeting with a CEO of a huge company, long story short is it's a very serious matter. Now, many times you hear about what they call cure letters, or you hear about, a letter that says either fix this or we will cancel your contract. But this, in many ways can go beyond that, because what I read into this is saying Charles Bolden, the administrator of NASA, a retired general, he is saying, listen, this is inappropriate. I can't have this happening at my agency. And the only way I think I can fix this is by going straight to the top. So this is a big deal, Jared, in the fact that you have someone like Meg Whitman, someone who has been mentioned about with cabinet positions over the years, meeting with a retired general to fix something that is what we think is as simple as some cybersecurity problems. So again, I would say this rates up there is a pretty huge deal.
And Jason, as we said on the way into our discussion, you broke the news of this meeting, but you also pretty much broke the news of the fact that HP was having major problems, or rather that NASA was having major problems under this ACES contract. You want to give us just the sort of 10,000-foot view of what these problems have been that prompted this meeting?
Sure. So this goes back to a contract that was awarded in 2010. $2.5 billion deal for what they call end-user devices. This is workstations, this is laptops, desktops, and the like. And what NASA has been troubled with is repairing what they call critical software patches. So, Jared, we know that our laptops, our computers, our servers, or whatever, always has updates. There's always updates. And there's certain updates that are considered important and those that are considered critical. And the critical ones mean that there's a cybersecurity risk. And basically what it comes down to is NASA and HP Enterprise Services can't come together on how quickly and how soon to patch these critical software holes, and that's leading and putting NASA at risk. At one point, NASA had up to a million critical software vulnerabilities. Now they're down to something to the effect of 150,000 critical patches that are missing off these ACES machines. But the point is this has been going on for a long time, and it's putting, again, NASA systems, NASA data at huge risk.
Okay, so after that background, what do we know about what has happened in the last few months as far as HP making progress in reducing some of those missing critical patches?
Well, NASA CIO Renee Wynn testified earlier this week before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee on where they talk about cybersecurity. And she said that the ACES contract is getting back on track. They're having regular meetings and holding Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Services more accountable for fixing these long-term software patching problems. One of the things she said was that the fact is that HP knows what they have to do, and then when these meetings are saying, how are you doing it? How much progress have you made? What comes next? Now, Renee Wynn made the unusual move back in July of not signing what they call an authority to operate for this ACES contract or ACES systems. The authority to operate says, basically is when any CIO or any mission system owner says, I attest to the fact that this set of technologies meets the Federal Information Security Management Act standards, FISMA standards. So what Renee Wynn signed was a conditional ATO, and this is a 180-day conditional ATO back in July. So she's saying to HPES, hey, I don't trust the fact that this is up to par. You have 6 months to bring it up to par. Now the problem here, Jared, is just to kind of go into the weeds a little bit more, there is no such thing as a conditional or an interim ATO.
Right.
In any OMB guidance, in any NIST special publications, it is not allowed. And in fact, in my story that's on federalnewsradio.com, I quote two separate OMB memos, August 2009, November 2013, where this is the annual guidance around FISMA, where OMB specifically answers the question, does OMB recognize an interim authority to operate for security authorizations? The answer is no, and then they go into more detail, and we can leave people read that. That being all said, the progress is being made, according to a NASA spokeswoman who told me after the hearing that NASA has closed about reduced the backlog by about 70% of those missing patches. So obviously that's good news. Sources tell me, however, that that still means that somewhere around 140,000, 150,000 critical patches are missing.
So notwithstanding the fact that a conditional ATO has no meaning in federal law or policy, it seems like up on the Hill, Renee Nguyen won some friends or admirers just by the fact that she refused to sign a full ATO.
Exactly. In fact, Chairman Will Hurd, he's the congressman who runs the IT subcommittee, said more CIOs should take that, if you will, dramatic step. They should come out and say, listen, you're not, if this vendor, this system is not meeting the FISMA, the cyber requirements, they should put their, you know, kind of sums out there, take a bold step and say, no, I'm not going to sign off on this. And in fact, during the hearing, both Rob Klopp, the Social Security Administration CIO, and Jonathan Albaum, the USDA CIO, both made comments regarding their ability not to sign ATOs. In fact, Rob Klopp from SSA said that he also went through something similar with a call center contract. And while Jonathan Albaum said he didn't have any similar experience, he does feel like he has the authority and the trust of his senior management that if he had to do something like that, he would. And I think this may be something that the Congressman Hurd is going to take a closer look at as we head into 2017.
All right, Jason, so we've mostly been talking about specifically the ACES contract so far, but it's not the only cybersecurity challenge that NASA is facing at the moment. I think some more of those emerged on Capitol Hill this week, and you wrote about them this week.
Absolutely. Now, ACES is a big deal. This is a contract that touches everyone. But NASA, just because they can't get ACES right, they also are struggling with other areas, including implementing two-factor authentication using smart identity cards. NASA reported to Congress that they will not be at 100% for what they call non-privileged users. So a privileged user is someone like a systems administrator, a CIO, someone who has access to all the systems. A non-privileged user is a regular old person like me and you that just logs onto their computer every day and does what they need to do to get their job done. But 100% of those non-privileged users will not have that smart identity card until early 2018. And that's a huge, huge time span, considering OMB made this a priority a year ago, so July of 2015, during the cyber sprint. The other thing that came up during the hearing, which I thought this was interesting, Jared, was around the Einstein 3A program. Again, this is a congressionally mandated deadline for agencies to meet by mid-December. Several agencies were struggling. DHS, I think I saw some reports that said they're up to about 90%. What's unclear from Renee Nguyen's testimony is whether or not NASA will meet that December deadline. She didn't say they won't, but as she said, we've experienced some challenges around deploying the technology at some centers. We're working with DHS to resolve those technical issues to enable NASA to meet the deadline for full deployment. But she didn't say they would make it. They are working through it. So those two things just on itself are key initiatives that NASA definitely has to do. And there's a host of other challenges that like every other agency, NASA also faces.
All right. Much more still on the table. And let's hope the next NASA administrator pays close attention to these things. Thanks very much for joining us, Jason.
My pleasure, Jared.